Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President for Business Development at RAB. Welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest podcast series comes to you from the 2023 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference, where chief marketing officers, brand stewards, advertising directors, research providers, ad tech, and media professionals all come together with a laser focus on growth. The conference showcased creative thinking, strategies, and best practices that leading brands have implemented to drive growth by meeting and exceeding their consumers' needs. RAB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees about their businesses, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. In episode number 6 of Radio on Main Street at the ANA Masters of Marketing, I had the privilege of speaking with John Evans, Chief Customer Officer, and Andrew Tindall, Global Partnerships Director from System One. System One is a creative effectiveness platform that quickly harnesses the power of emotion to drive growth by measuring emotional response to advertising. Their methodology and the data that comes out of their work gives confidence to marketers to make the right decision for their advertising. So here we are at the ANA Masters of Marketing, and you know, delighted to meet both of you. And I understand that you just recently released a huge audio study called Listen Up. It was released in the UK. But before, and we're going to get into that in a second, but before we do, I know that you also host a podcast, and the podcast, you can talk a bit about what it's called and all of that kind of stuff, but you're interviewing chief marketing officers on a regular basis, right?
Yes.
Can you share with me, before we get into the actual research, share with me the common themes that you're hearing when you have been chatting with chief marketing officers? What are their primary challenges right now in this kind of upside down world that we're living in? What are the opportunities? What keeps them up at night? That kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, thank you for mentioning the podcast. Anyone listening, it's Uncensored CMO, the little plug. But yeah, now I set the podcast up to have conversations with CMOs about the challenges they're facing and what advice they can give to other people. And actually, you absolutely hit the nail on the head when you talked about uncertainty. I mean, the last few years, anyone in marketing has faced more uncertainty probably than in the last 20. And as you know, as a chief marketing officer, your job is to represent the customer where decisions get made, which is in the boardroom. And you're under a lot of pressure to go, you know, what does this pandemic mean? What does the recession mean? What does global uncertainty with supply chains mean? And actually, in the CMO role, everyone is looking to you to have the answer.
Yeah,
it's a really hard. I mean, I've done the job and been fired twice.
That's a theme from what I've been reading.
Yeah, exactly.
Also,
there's a whole episode on it. But it's a really tough job. And actually, you know, linking to what we do at System One, one of the things we try and do is give confidence to marketers to make the right decision. Because unlike running a factory or running a sales team where you've got the data, as a marketer, you're making judgments all the time.
Yeah.
And it's really hard when you're in the ultimate position to know whether the decision you're making is going to work or not. And that's actually what kind of comes, that's what, you know, what we do at System One is we help marketers make confident decisions by giving them the data.
And the data's absolutely going to help. But the reality is there probably isn't enough data out there to stop the budget cuts and to stop, you know, given the business challenges, the supply chain, you touched on all of them, you know, which really results in, we don't have any money for marketing anymore. Do you find that the data really is overcoming those issues?
100%. In fact, the data, in times of pressure and uncertainty, the data becomes more, not less important. Mm-hmm. So when you have to decide which media do I invest in when I've got limited resources, which creative do I do, you know, how long do I air the campaign for, you know, how do I convince my customers to give me space in store rather than my competitor? All these things, you know, under pressure become more and more important to actually have the data. And it gives you a chance to sell to your customers, but also win the arguments internally and get more resource allocated. And one of the biggest dilemmas any marketer faces is, you know, performance marketing versus brand or short versus long. You know, these are real decisions.
And there's a blurring
there is
between performance marketing and branding. that's what we're seeing. Anyway, there's you can't do branding anymore without performance attached to it.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and actually what we try and do at System One is demonstrate how, you know, there are tactics you can deploy that mean your performance can build brands and your brand can deliver performance. And the more you can, I mean, one example is we talk about fluent devices, which is a System One phrase to describe familiar things, distinctive things that are associated. So it might be an accent, or it might be a character that says something on radio, for example. And when people listen to it, they go, ah, I know which brand that is.
Yeah.
And so one clever thing is things like that are tactics you can use that actually mean all your marketing, mm-hmm. whether performance or brand, is more memorable. And if it's more memorable, people are more likely to, you know, think about it in future when they're deciding what to buy.
Which is fantastic. So when you talk to the marketers, and this, I'm slowly going to get into the research that you just released. Are you asking them, or is it through your client work, which media they are using right now? Like, do you know what a current CMO's perception is of audio today?
Yeah, this is really one of the best bits of research I've seen is Karen Nelson Field's research on attention, and it's so important because, you know, we've been measuring media all wrong. It's based on opportunity to see or hear, right?
Right.
But actually, you need to understand how the media can create emotion, because if you can create emotion through your media, you're more likely for someone to pay attention to it, be remembered, and to have effect. So it's trying to work with media that is going to create the right lasting effects. And this is where radio is amazing. I mean, people wrongly go, oh, it's just one kind of, you know, it's limited because it's not got the audio visual. You've got the visual bit of the audio. But it's so powerful, and you've also got much more captured attention, because usually when you're listening to radio, you're usually in the moment. You're not scrolling through a feed being, you know, inundated with millions of things. But to answer your question, I think what we're trying to help CMOs do is look at media in the right way and understand which media can drive attention, which media can get your brand message across most successfully, and also understanding what the creative role on that media is to make the most of it. And I mean, we're massive fans of radio advertising.
Which, you know,
I mean, we'll get onto it in a second, but honestly, the power of music and sound and dialogue and accents and humour and all those things, we know from our research, connect with people in a powerful way. And if you can do that, your brand can fly off the back of it.
Completely, to the point where we also see with TV advertising, largely how that works is through the audio as well. Like, people aren't even looking at their screens anymore. Mm-hmm. They're looking at their phones. And I think it's something like 40% of TV isn't consumed visually. It's just in the room listening to it. So understanding how powerful audio is a massive learning beyond just radio.
Absolutely.
Can I jump in just quickly on what Andrew said? It's a really cool study, actually, that's is it Thinkbox in the UK?
Thinkbox, yeah.
And they were showing, it was a bit, do you have Gogglebox? Sorry, Gogglebox here.
No.
There's this TV program in the UK, sorry to use a UK reference. There's this TV program in the UK, where it sounds unbelievable, but they film people watching the TV.
Okay.
And it sounds like, why would that work? You know what I mean? This sounds a bit weird. But what you do is you're seeing people's reactions to what they're watching, and you see what they talk about and this sort of thing. And they did this study, as Andrew was referring to, where they took the ad break and worked out what people were doing in the ad break. And as he quite rightly said, they're not looking, but they're listening. They might be having a chat kind of to each other. And this is a very funny scene where this guy is going to his girlfriend, I really hate the ads. I couldn't, you know.
Yeah, why does anyone invest in ads?
No one watches the ads. And he swears a bit, right? No one watches the ads. Anyway, and then there's a delivery service called Just Eat, right?
Right.
And they have this, he goes, their little sounds
jingle.
Like,
did jingle, somebody,
did
say,
somebody
just,
say,
Just Eat?
Right, anyway. Yeah, get
I think they have that here, don't they?
Do you have Just Eat here?
You must do.
Do you have Just Eat? Come on, you must have Just Eat.
It must be called something else.
It's coming.
Maybe it's called something else.
Anyway, this guy says that, and then he's looking at his phone later on, and then that comes on the TV, and then he sings, did somebody say,
and is this a television show? Or is this a research study?
So it's an ethnographic research where they've put cameras in people's houses and understood how they consume TV. And it's largely through audio. And it's largely how it works. It builds these amazing memory structures.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Anyway, we digress.
Amazing. And are they watching it on a big screen or are they watching it on their phone?
Both.
Yeah, both.
In this particular study, imagine it's someone's front room and the cameras are looking at them to try and work out whether they're paying attention to the advertising. Right. And the study is amazing because, as Andrew said, the thing they're doing is hearing it.
Right.
You can't not hear it.
Right.
You can choose not to watch it. And then the fact that the guy dismissed advertising, said, oh, no one watches the ads, and then he sings the jingle for the next ad, just shows the power of the sound.
But what's unfortunate for, you know, television is that when television is created, they're not often creating it for the audio.
No, completely.
Yeah. And
I want to start working with advertisers.
Yeah, you're kind
of... To test the ad without the visual.
Yeah, because it goes both ways. We would never recommend that you just lift the audio off your television commercial and run it on the radio because it's not going to work.
Completely agree.
And if you're just listening and not watching, it's not going to work. And I'd be interested to know.
Completely agree. So I've actually got a case study for that in the new research that we've launched where Haribo is a candy brand. In fact, you have that here.
We have that.
I don't come to the US a lot.
We have Haribo.
Yeah, okay, you have Haribo. Check. Not
gummy
just
bears.
Here. Yeah.
This is going to be the episode where it's like, do we have it here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. Apologies to listeners.
They have this amazing TV ad that's very effective. So we've tested it with our Test Your Ad tool, which predicts the effectiveness of the creative. And it's two policemen sat in a car, but they've got children's voices. Mm-hmm. It's a very it's a fluent device of Haribo. They put children's voices into adults. And they're joking around, it's policemen, and it's all very cute. And it's a 5-star ad. We predict it will grow a lot of market share for the brand. And then they also then took the audio from that TV ad and put it onto radio without changing anything. Mm-hmm. And what you got was kind of an erosion of what we call right brain creative features. Mm-hmm. So you didn't really understand the characters, the place too much. And then there's an amazing creative agency in the UK called Quiet Storm. And they took the audio and they put in more of these entertaining features. They gave the characters more characterization, they put more context in with audio, and it moved it to the highest scoring radio ad we've ever tested.
It's a craft of its own.
It is.
Really, truly is. So tell me a little bit about your methodology.
Sure.
And how it is that you're measuring engagement and emotions and creative, and are you also measuring attribution?
Interesting,
so,
yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll take this one. So, we work at System One, and we create confidence around advertisers and marketers making the right decision with our tool called Test Your Ad. So, Test Your Ad is a tool that measures the emotional response to advertising, because advertising works by creating emotion.
Yep.
That's what we're very certain about now. And we test every UK and every US TV ad for that emotional response. And with that data, which we collect in 24 hours, mm-hmm. because we believe that everyone should be able to do this, and it should be able to fit into everyone's working day. At really any budget, because it's rather affordable as well. We've now tested over 100,000 TV ads. And then from that emotional data and that brand recognition data, we turn those into long and short-term metrics, understanding whether that ad's going to do the long and or the short. So it really helps advertisers understand and predict how an ad's going to perform and to improve it in some cases.
So let me interrupt for 1 second.
Sure.
So long term would be a branding metric, right?
Yeah.
And intent to purchase. Short term, would that be measuring, purchase, sales?
It's interesting. So it's all, so as we are called System One, everything we do is very System One based. So that thinking fast and slow, System One versus System Two. So everything we measure is via the emotional response. So what we've found and proven with a lot of our research, especially by our Chief Innovation Officer, Orlando Wood, who does a lot of work globally with this, is that an ad that's going to do the long term, build brand, and make your brand more salient in the next 5 years, is an ad that creates positive emotion.
Yep.
So if an ad that creates positive emotion, it builds more long-term memory structures, and when that brand comes to mind in the future, it feels like a right choice. Because no one stood on the candy aisle, weighing up the pros and cons between Haribo and Hershey's. Yeah, I'm getting a thumbs up. Yeah, I've not stood there for 5 minutes weighing it up. I look at the brand, and if it feels good, I pick it up. That's why
it's almost like you're creating the loyalty for it with before they even try.
Oh, you're creating future demand. Yeah. That's what long-term advertising is, and that's what we measure with that positive emotional intent. And in the short term, we actually look at ads that how strongly they brand. And how emotionally intense they make us feel, because that makes your brand more salient in the next few weeks. So if an ad is very well branded very early on and gets you to feel anything, not just positive, it's salient and it'll make you go and buy it more in the next few weeks. So it's not actually attribution, or we don't track the sales. We take the emotional data and we let marketers know what their ad's going to do in 24 hours.
Just to give you a quick stat as well. One of the best stats I've come across, Ehrenberg Bass Institute, have got this thing they call the 95-5 rule. And it makes sense when you think about it. Most people are not in the market to buy what you're selling today.
Correct.
In fact, in any given market, on average, 95% of people will not be thinking about it. So what we try and encourage advertisers to do is think about, you know, whether you're doing radio advertising or other advertising, think about building towards the 95. Mm-hmm. So if you do activation, that's great, but how do you build in the fluent devices like we talked about, that build the memory for future, create the positive emotion that means in the future when Andrew's down the candy aisle looking at Hershey's,
right,
you know, that or will Haribo. Be the brand that comes to mind. Or Haribo, exactly, right. You see. So I'm already thinking about Hershey's now.
Yeah.
It's always easier with chocolate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Somehow it's great. But that's why we measure the long and the short together, because for marketers, and back to your CMO question, marketers are juggling all the time.
Yes.
How do I do both? You know,
and they have to do all. I mean, they really do have to do everything, and they have to use all media. I'm not saying don't use television. You know, don't use digital. You have to follow the consumer, and you have to be where the consumer is. So, we just want to make sure that audio and radio is on their radar. So, speaking about audio and radio, tell us a little bit about the Listen Up study that you just released.
Sure. So we also use Test Your Ad to predict and understand the effectiveness of audio advertising and radio advertising. And I met this amazing UK trade body for UK radio called Radio Centre. So basically what you guys are, but in the UK.
Yeah, we work with them.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. And they have a gold mine of effectiveness data, where over the past over 10 years, they've done in-market effectiveness studies for radio ads. So understanding the behavioral change, the awareness change, the trust changes for brands if they've been exposed to these radio campaigns or if they haven't. And we took that amazing in-market effectiveness data and we wanted to understand the impact that the creative had on it, you know, what we're actually putting on air. So we took 135 radio ads and we tested them with Test Your Ad to understand the emotional response to the ads and whether they lead to, is your brand growing or shrinking in market? And it's literally the first of its kind study because no one's really connected those dots before. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, candidly, there's a lot of bad radio ads out there.
Yes, we know.
There's a lot of bad radio. we test a lot of ads, and it's we all get very excited when we find a good radio ad.
To be fair, there's also a lot of bad ads. Don't feel too bad. We're amongst friends here. There's a lot of bad ads out there.
Because we've all got a little bit swept up in this digital conversation, and
people don't know how to make good radio ads,
and
that's where, you know, we've got an initiative through our Radio Mercury Awards brand, where we're just kicking off a webinar series that will hone in on best practices.
Amazing,
audio creative, but that's part of it. People don't know how.
Completely, and that's why we've done this study, not only to show what amazing radio ads can do for a brand, but then also to teach people how. So, some of the key headlines are amazing. So, one, radio can change consumer behavior. Can get them to talk about a brand, go and look for a brand, use, buy a brand. And we looked at radio ads with a high or low star rating. So our star rating is how we predict long-term effectiveness for an ad. And it's based on how positive people feel. So a radio ad that made not many positive emotions, people were left feeling neutral, doesn't change behavior that much. It's quite negligible. However, a radio ad that left people feeling positive had huge impact on their on consumer behavior. More people were going out and shopping for a brand, searching for a brand, visiting the store, telling their friend about it, sharing the brand on social. So with that finding alone, that if you know that your radio ad isn't going to make those positive emotions, then something needs to change with the creative, because then you're missing out on some of the magic of radio.
Right.
Another thing we found as well was trust building. So radio is a very trusted medium. We've already kind of touched on that, and how intimate radio is. It lives in our lives all the time. It's on in the kitchen when we're having dinner with our family. It's your friend on the way to work. It's a very trusted medium. So you've got an opportunity there to make your brand more trusted by being on radio.
Yeah.
But what's important is that the brand needs to be recognized on the radio ad to take advantage of that. So what we found is that radio ads with high fluency rating, what we call brand recognition, have got twice as much brand trust gains than low branded ads.
Right.
So if your ad is branded, you can really take really full advantage of the trust building power of radio. And why I think this is important is that a lot of digital media platforms don't build trust for brands.
No, not at all. Yeah.
So if you can build radio into your media mix to cover some of those holes that your digital media might not be getting, then you've got a killer armory for brand building.
You guys are amazing advocates for radio.
We are. We love it.
Well, I spent 12 months on this study. It's all I think about.
It's fantastic.
Generally speaking, just to say, so I'm a former CMO. As I say, got fired twice, but we'll ignore that. But look, one of the things I've genuinely learned since working at System in the last 4 years is the power of sound.
Yeah.
And I used to make big budget TV ads, and genuinely, the very last thing I would do is the sound, or the radio, right? I'd agree what the soundtrack is and that kind of thing, or the audio. Now I know the research we've done, I would do it very differently. I'll be really investing in...
I'm the same.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd invest in soundtrack. I'd invest in distinctive characters and audio. I'd invest in something that's unique and ownable from an audio perspective that connects all this stuff together.
Completely.
So from your perspective, a former CMO that has seen the light after coming here, and you would go back and change it, how would you recommend to our listening audience that they communicate that message to the former you?
Yeah, very good. I think if you can, so CMO's under pressure, haven't got much time, you need to synthesize the insight, the kind of insight that's in Listen Up, right? I mean, that's partly why we produce it. We want to consolidate it, give people the headlines, but we want to give them the evidence, right? So go with the evidence, and the evidence is in Listen Up. The second thing I'd do is, any good marketers will know the power of distinctive assets. Now, historically, before, I would have thought of distinctive assets as being like colours and logos and stuff like that. I now realise how important sound distinctive assets are.
Yeah.
And it could be an accent, it could be a jingle, but build those into your brand thinking up front. Yeah. Don't leave it till the end of the process.
No, for sure.
Oh,
no.
Let's find it.
Be the first thing that's created.
Start with it. Start at the beginning.
Especially the jingle. Make the jingle great again.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There you go. We've got a campaign now. Make the jingle great.
You've got a campaign and you've got best practices. And I think this is just the beginning of our partnership, because we'd love to have you take us through the entire Listen Up study and help you with your baselines in the U.S. for radio creative. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before, I'm going to ask each of you one.
She's got an unfinally question. This is always the dodgy one.
Final answer. I know how you're going to answer it, but it's kind of like the elevator version of it. And I'm going to ask you slightly different questions,
so you're
not both answering it. Radio matters because. Say radio matters because.
Radio matters because when I'm listening, I'm 100% focused on what I'm hearing, and that'll leave me with an impression and an emotion that I don't get from other media.
Great. And radio works because?
It's an incredibly entertaining and intimate medium that reaches a lot of people at a very cost-effective price.
Great. I think you just created our ad for radio for the community. Thank you
I should say as well.
That's okay.
The in terms of why it works, Listen Up has got the data as well
to prove it. Yeah. I'll make sure the listeners can get a copy.
We'll share it because it's got the proof of it. You know, so don't take our word for it. Take the all the people that responded in the survey. Yeah.
The Listen Up study that System One released in partnership with Radio Center in the UK further confirms that radio works. Radio can change consumer behavior, gets consumers to talk about a brand, look for a brand at retail, and buy it. Great radio ads trigger positive emotions and garner huge results. Like John and Andrew say, and I quote, "The trust that radio commands from its audiences is killer armory for brand building." If you're interested in the full Listen Up study, please visit RAB.com, go to Why Radio, or just ask RAB.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at RAB.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.